Well, we're moving into a new topic. It is a subject, I believe, that should get our undivided attention, and mostly because it's one of those foundational teachings that informs us of the very centre of our relationship with God, informs us about that. So very important. It's not what justifies us. It's not intended to be a work that approves us before God, but it is central to our Christian faith. Can anyone guess what it might be? Just have a stab. Haven't given you enough information yet, I can tell. It's prayer. Ah, there we go. It's prayer. Jane, you would have known for sure. God wants us battle ready. I say that about prayer. God wants us battle ready, with the capacity to pray, commune with him and do spiritual warfare when the time is needed, when that's required. Do spiritual warfare. And we have seen what spiritual warfare does. It changes things. It brings shift into circumstances and situations. You know, it's been said that an army marches on its stomach. Napoleon said that. An army marches on its stomach. In other words, it needs food. Someone came along and said, but the church marches on its knees. We need prayer to get where we're going. We need to be in there with prayer and lifting up our supplications and requests to the Lord. Someone may ask, isn't prayer a peaceful thing? Well, it can be, but the church is here to effect God's will on the earth. And there's a fight that goes on. There's a spiritual battle goes on about the will of God being done or not. And of course, it's through prayer and obedience to his will that we get the job done. Number one, understanding what the will of God is. And then, of course, then praying that God's will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Some pray only when they have a need. A bit sad, but that's their prayer life is limited to only when they have a need. That's usually when they'll go to prayer. And of course, the communication side, the communion side, the contemplative side, where we just get into his presence and let him just minister to us, is not familiar to them. That's okay. No condemnation if you sort of fall into that category. You're in the right place, because we're going to talk about some things about prayer in this series. The part where we just talk to God in that situation is rarely there. And of course, God wants us just to talk with him like he's there. You know why? Because he is. He wants us to talk, you know, like he's kind of right there with us, because he is. You know, some of us just need to get used to the idea that it's not about a form and this serious thing that we must do, and we've got to do it at a certain time of the day, and if we don't do it then, it's not going to work. I think what that leads to is giving him the first little bit in the morning and the last little bit at night. A little bit of a, well, now I lay me down to sleep. God wants more of that from us. It's great for the kids, you know, a little prayer like that. I used to pray with our kids every time, you know, that I put them to bed, that they'd be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'd pray that and pray that and pray that, because I knew that if I wanted anything on their life, it was that heart connection, you know, that prayerfulness of knowing God's will and walking in it. And I continue to believe that we'll see the fruit of that in their lives. Amen. Matthew 15 and verse 8, it says, "This people draw near to me with their mouth, but their and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Hey, that's an old problem though. This right here is an old problem. Jesus was quoting from the book of Isaiah 750 years before, even Isaiah was saying, this people. God was saying through Isaiah, this people draw near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart. How many of you know that God's after the heart? God's after that spirit-to-spirit connection with us. And of course, you know, it's something, prayer is one of those things that has many, many aspects to it, many facets to it. Remember Lindsay Carter, our mural artist? This is one of her creations there, a big diamond on a wall, and so pretty that. But, you know, prayer is like that, like a diamond. It has so many different facets to it that you can look into and see and recognise. This is a topic that we'll see those very different aspects of prayer. And just, you know, I know the Lord was dealing with me about a church being battle ready, and I thought, well, hey, maybe we're going to get some real powerful heavens from, you know, weapons, you know, heavenly weapons being downloaded to us, things, you know, that are really, you know, make a big difference, and, you know, great firepower being given to us as a church. And, it, you know, I'm sort of thinking that when the Lord was dealing with me about being battle ready. But, you know, it's really funny. It's taken me right back to some of the what I call the simple truths, the simple things that we need to apply ourselves to and understand when it comes to prayer. Very important series for us as a church, because we know that our purpose is found in prayer. And the more we engage in prayer, the more we see those different facets we discover in prayer, what God is saying to us. Prophetic prayer. Now words, those now words where God's actually speaking to us where we are as a church or even individually right now. And of course, they come as we become a people of prayer. And of course, as Paul's even brought out, and I've already said it once today, we say here at Victory Life, Broome, that prayer brings His presence. You know, when we go to prayer, we can expect His presence. And then when we have His presence, we can expect His power. You know, His power to release us from circumstances and situations, sickness and disease. We can expect His insights, which give us a pathway out of where we might be. Amen. That sequence, prayer, presence, power. You know, is one thing in prayer that is needed. When we talk about prayer, one of the first things that's needed is persistence. You know, do you know how to persist in prayer? Or are you a fair weather prayer? Only pray while the weather's fair, you know. As soon as the storm comes, it's batten down the hatches and run, you know. What kind of a prayer are you like? Are you persistent? Many Christians leave the battlefield through a lack of persistence in prayer. And I believe that a series like this is there to help us to stay in the battlefield, stay in the fight, keep praying. No matter how difficult and absolutely impossible your situation may be, persistence needs to be added to our prayer. Amen. Isaiah 40 and verse 27, here's Isaiah saying, "Why do you say, O Jacob," talking about Israel, "and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God?" And he's saying, why are you saying that? Why are you thinking that? Why is it that you would take that mindset? See, this is a mindset that's formed mostly by the passage of time, the time lapse sometimes that occurs where there seems to be no prayer being answered, or we've prayed but there's no answer yet, and a mindset, you know, begins to form. Why is my way? Why is my circumstance? How come I haven't had my prayer answered? And we've all been there. We've all had that feeling and that sense. And my just claim is passed over by my God. And, you know, Isaiah's touching this very hard condition. Who doesn't like to have an immediate prayer answered? You know, who doesn't like that? I mean, I like that. I've had a few immediate prayers, you know, when you pray and boom, answers right there, and you go, "Pooh, that was quick." Didn't even have to really do much. Those are great, but other times it's persistence. It's just staying in there, staying on the battlefield, and taking the heat. You know, in prayer, what we do with a thought like that is important. It has to be dealt with. And of course, there's a great passage in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? The word of God that we know, the promise of God that we're standing on. That's what needs to, you know, be upheld. But those arguments that are against the word of God, we need to cast down and not allow them to become a mindset for us. Look what it says. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. A captivity, that's a battle word, isn't it? You know, you're bringing an enemy into captivity. And those thoughts that rise up against the word of God are like an enemy, and they'll actually hold us back and prevent us from getting into what God has for us. They have to be cast down. They have to be brought into captivity. A little two-minute video here from one of my favourite Bible teachers, Rick Renner. He's got a church in Russia. God called him to go to Russia and start a church. And I know that you'll be blessed by it.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Paul says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." What is the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is, I'm healed. That's what the Word of God declares, that by His stripes I am healed. But if I have a thought that says, you're not healed, you're never going to be healed, and it tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, then Paul says, we're to cast that thing down and to take it captive. Take captive means to take captive at the end of a very sharp point like a Roman sword. Now let me give you an example. If I take this Roman sword, which is a replica of what they used in the Roman army, and I put that right into your back, I can direct you anywhere I want to go. I can push you this way. I can push you that way. You're going to move if I have you at the end of a sword. Well, when Paul says taking captive our thoughts, it means to take captive at the end of a very sharp point, which tells us we've got to take the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And when the devil tries to lie to us, or tries to exalt thoughts in our life that are lies about our future, about our present, about answers to prayer, about our marriage, whatever the subject may be, we've got to find the answer in the Word of God, and we've got to apply that answer to the solution and push those wrong thoughts right out of our mind. And the Word of God will give us the ability to take captive those wrong thoughts. So I want to ask you, are you spending enough time in the Word of God to have a sword? Is there a sword in your hand? Do you have a promise in your mouth? You've got to have the Word of God in your mouth. You've got to have it in an active position in your life so that you can move those wrong thoughts right out. That's something for you to think about today.
Amen. Rick Renner has a great little devotional called Sparkling Gems. And great little daily devotional. You look him up, Rick Renner. And Sparkling Gems is like a daily devotional that you can get a hold of. And very good word, very good ministry that he brings to the point. No pun intended, Roman swords and everything like that. But persistence in prayer, where we don't allow a time lapse to stop us from praying and believing. And that we also recognize that when those little thoughts that come up and go, oh, hang on, I've prayed and nothing's happening. That's a thought that needs to be brought and cast down and brought into the captivity, the obedience of the Lord Jesus. And of course, exchange with what the word says, what promise you're standing in and standing on. So back into Isaiah 40 and verse 28. And it says this, have you not known, have you not heard? Now, this is in answer to that mindset idea that says, well, hang on, where's God? How come God hasn't turned up in this situation? Isaiah 40, verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Look what it says. He gives power to the weak. Praise the Lord. That's us. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Good word. He gives power to the weak. Someone might say, when? When? I need it now. Well, he gave it to you when he gave you the word of God. Amen. And that's when we, you know, that's when those that have no might get strengthened, is when we receive the word of God, take the word of God on, put the word of God into our situation and start to speak it. At every moment, not once or twice, but at every moment. That's the persistence part that we need to apply. How we turn our situation around is clear. It's by persisting. Someone says, how long do I have to persist for? I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't tell us that. But I tell you what, you know, I think I heard Kenneth Hagin say this, is that if you're prepared to believe forever, it won't take that long. Yeah, so it's one to just think about, you know, well, that's right. If I'm prepared to believe forever, it won't take that long. But some people want to put a time on it. I'm going, why do you do that? You're going to just discourage yourself by putting a limit of time on it. It's by persisting, by being relentless in prayer. And remember, you know, Psalm 34 and verse 15, we looked at it as a part of our last series. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and what? His ears are open to their cry. That's us. His ears. You know, when you got into your problem, that's not when God found out about it. He already knew about it. And you know, so often he's waiting for us to just give it to him and say, Lord, here it is. I'm gonna glorify you in this situation, Lord. So I'm gonna bring it to you. Here's what your word says, and I'm speaking your word from this day forward about that situation. And that's all I'm going to say, is what your word says. Amen. Isaiah 40, in verse 30, it says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. That's the young ones who you wouldn't think would. But even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, it's an interesting word study, that actual Hebrew word for wait, underlined. And it's actually a Hebrew word that looks like it says quaver. And the word quaver is actually pronounced korvor, korvor. And it means to gather together, to look patiently, to tarry. And tarry means waiting, and wait for, on, and upon. It definitely means being patient. We're going to see that it actually has, and you go into the very origin of the word, actually has a rather interesting connotation to it, has an interesting origin. It also carries the picture of binding together. So when we wait on the Lord, we're kind of binding ourselves together with Him. We're tapping into His strength, His ability. And that's good news, and should be good news for us. Now, I just have to just show you. Let's just say that this is kind of like our strength. And, you know, it's not the best strength. I've got to get the right one here. Props previously prepared. This is actually a piece of
cloth.
And it's the only string I could find that I could make my point. But this is like our strength, right? You put a bit of pressure on it, and of course, what happens is it just breaks. It has a breaking point, is really the point. And however, get the same piece of string and connect it to a piece of rope, all right? This is like God's strength. You can't break it. Doesn't have the breaking point. You can't break God. Amen? And this is like, you know, what we're connecting to is this. Well, how do you get a piece of string onto a piece of rope to get the same strength? Now, I tell you, I'm about to, if I was towing a car, I could tow a car with this as well, just simply by connecting it like this, all right? And what happens is that piece of string takes on the strength of the rope that it's attached to, amen? And that actual word, to wait, means to bind together. And that's what we do. We take our strength, which is weak, and we actually bind it to God's strength, wrapped together. And it's a whole different breaking point that actually occurs when we actually do that, amen? Twisting together. And our waiting on the Lord connects us to His strength. And, you know, it can be something that's done quietly through the day. It doesn't have to be with a big song and dance. It doesn't have to be on Sunday. It doesn't have to be just when we're worshipping. You know, it's something that we can do on a regular basis where we just connect. We actually achieve His breaking point, which is, there is no breaking point. They that wait upon the Lord are so very important. Our waiting on the Lord becomes more than just waiting for Him to do something. You know, it's almost like when we connect to that strength, we know that we're going to win. When we actually make that connection, we know we're going to win anyway. And we become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Faith is renewed through His word to us. Faith gets restored, and we begin to run and not be weary, confidently expecting the breakthrough, you know. And instead of being sad and concerned and anxious, we begin to actually rise up with a joy and a strength. So important. You know, Jesus taught on persistent prayer. Jesus actually taught on it as a interesting one, a position that he gave out of Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray at all times and not lose heart. Get that, and not lose heart. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in that town who kept appealing to him, Give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he refused. But later he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or respect men, yet because this widow keeps pestering. So in other words, this judge, he wasn't necessarily a really good judge. He wasn't a great guy. He wasn't out to do the right thing. He was just out for the easy set of circumstances. Even though I do not fear God or respect men, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I'll give her justice. Then she will stop wearing me out with her perpetual requests. It's a good one. You know, this is not teaching us that persistent prayer will wear God down. It's not teaching us that. That, you know, he will finally give in if we just bang on about it long enough. It's not teaching us that. No. And look what it says. And the Lord said, listen to the words of the unjust judge. Will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he continue to defer their help? I tell you, he will promptly carry out their justice on their behalf. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And you know, I look at that and I say, you know, it's an interesting end time reference right there. When he comes, you know, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's mentioned right there at the end of that parable because Jesus is here mentioning the need of faith when we pray. It's the understanding that our prayer should be fueled by faith, both by what God has said and what he's saying. You know, as we bind ourselves together with the Lord, as we become the strong rope, as we're twisted together with him, I tell you, the guarantee of that is he'll speak. He'll actually guide and direct by the Holy Spirit into your life. And that will be healthy for you. Amen? That will be very strong and healthy for you. Amen. Just keep an eye on those cameras there on the car park, please, Mark. Just watching a bit of traffic out there. And you know, it's so very important. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How important it is that we get a hold of that in the light of the need to have faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's not our continual coming to God that pleases God. That's a religious mindset. Shake free of that, okay? It's our faith that pleases God. A faith that's informed by the Word of God, what God has said and what he's saying. And our Heavenly Father is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, our connection to him in prayer makes us strong with his strength. It lets us see as he sees. It's a vantage point, like an eagle that rises up and looks down and sees the bigger picture. Amen. And gains the best vantage point. I tell you, God's got the best vantage point over your life, over your situation, over your circumstance. So I say, press in, because he's got the eagle's eye on it. Isaiah 40, again. Isaiah 40, and I'll read it to you again, verse 30 through to 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Praise the Lord. You know, I was really interested. The Lord dropped this verse into my heart through the week. And two very favourite sort of speakers that I kind of listen to and sort of watch out for what they're saying, they both had the same scripture pop up, you know, through the week as well. And I was going, wow, you know, wow, look at that. God's speaking to us at this time through a verse of scripture given to the prophet Isaiah all those years ago. And it's right for where we are now, right for where you are right now. And God wants us to receive it, tuck it in our heart, and start to run with it. Amen? And, you know, I believe that as we do, we'll see shifts and changes. We'll see some things, you'll see some things taking place that otherwise, you know, you wouldn't have seen. But it's about, you know, it's all about waiting on the Lord and renewing our strength. Amen. Why don't we all stand together this morning and we're going to close with a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We again, Lord God, we're a people that just are so blessed, Father, so blessed by your word, Lord God, by what you're saying at this time into our lives and in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we want to be those people that wait upon you, that find your strength, Lord God, that rise up, that run and are not weary. We want to be those people, Father God, that have the vantage point of our Heavenly Father, are able to see as you see, Father. We say it's the realm of sons and daughters that see as their Father sees. Lord, we thank you today. And Lord, our hearts are ready, Lord God. Our hearts are determined, Lord God. Lord God, we want to persist in the midst of difficulty and circumstance and see your name glorified, Father. The name of Jesus lifted up. And Lord, your word says, Father, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So, Father, we again thank you for your word today, Lord God. We thank you that we have an opportunity to tuck it into our hearts and do something with it, Lord God, to walk it out, Lord God, to make adjustments in our lives and maybe even our schedule so that we make time to just be with you and commune with you, Lord God, to find those times of contemplation, Father, where you're just able to speak to us and lead us and guide us. Lord, we pray these things today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask as a congregation, Lord God, that you would be with us through the week, Lord God, that you would lead us and just step into situations that we're in, Lord God, and show us your light. Give us your truth, Father. We thank you for that today, Lord. And Lord, as we close, Lord God, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for revelation knowledge, Lord God, that would touch hearts and lives, Lord God, and transform our circumstances, Father. We thank you for that. And Lord God, we thank you for our visitors that are with us today, Lord God. We thank you that your hand is upon their lives, Lord God, that your touch is there, Father God, and known by them. Lord God, no matter where they go from here, Father God, we ask safety upon their lives, Father, and on the lives of their family. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Why don't we go out with a song? And just as we're about to, you know, I just make that invitation. If you're here this morning and maybe there's something in that you'd like to stand and pray and maybe come down the front for some prayer, please do, or a healing need, whatever it is. But I also just want to make an invitation that if you're here today and you'd have to say that I don't know that I've really got a close relationship with God, but I'd like to. I'd like to know what it means to come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I want you to know that it's just a simple prayer that you can pray called the prayer of salvation, or in the prayer of acceptance. And it's a prayer that we can pray down the front here as well this morning. And it's just about believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that, you know, through his work upon the cross, we're forgiven of our sins, and that we can change, we can repent and live a new life. And I just encourage you this morning, if you haven't prayed that prayer before, this is a great time to do it. But again, I just make that invitation. Come on down the front afterwards, after this song, if you want to be prayed over any given area, or even during the song, you can come, it's okay. But you can come on down. We believe the Lord will be here to meet you and greet you. Amen.